I had quite a week this week in Florida. My wife celebrating her birthday, and one of the days, let me see, I think that was the last day, right? Friday, all week, we had a girl's day out. My daughter-in-law, Mary Bloom, and Kembry and Summer Bloom, and Kathy Bloom, all were going thrift store shopping. That was their project for the day. They were going to go out Friday and go around this thrift stores. Not bad, 75 degrees, sunny, you know, go around and in Florida there. And so I was left with my grandson, Grayson Bloom, because my son Bo was out working. He had some big thing for a sales push, and he has this big sales fair and all these different places from all over Florida come representing their companies, and Bo is representing his company. And so he was going till late at night. So I had the day with one guy, and that was an 8-year-old grandson named Grayson. And this guy he's just into hunting. He's a little guy, big brown eyes, little guy, into hunting. He's shooting BB guns. And sometimes he's shooting things he ought not to shoot. And so I won't get into that tonight, but I was instructed that he needs some constructive training in shooting. And so I got a BB gun, and he got a BB gun, and we were loaded up with BBs and went to the backyard, and they have it fenced in. I was told what fence to shoot toward. And then we got this cardboard box, and we were setting up all kinds of cans, like bottles and cans, you know, like plastic bottles and cans. And we just set them all up on this cardboard, and we're out there with open sights shooting at those things. And I'll tell you, this guy, he would shoot one thing down and knock five down. I mean, the guy is a deadeye. He was really good with it, and he was getting into it. And I was getting into it. And we were both shooting, you know, and having a good time. Then he went out and shot a moth. And I said, that's great. Moths eat your clothes. Go ahead. And he knocked the moth. He killed him. He's holding the moth up with the BB gun. And I said, that's good. You know, I said, he's telling me he's shooting at squirrels. I said, no, I don't think you should be doing that. I said, if you're going to shoot at squirrels, you need a shotgun. They'll suffer. You know, you're not going to kill them. And but anyway, so he shot at a moth. But then he shot a butterfly. I said, nope, that's not good. So, but we were doing, I said, now we were shooting for quite a while. I said, we need a break, so let's go out to eat. And of course, I took him to Old Country Buffet. I took him to Golden Corral. Amen. Is there any other place? Golden Corral. You know, we went there to Golden Corral. And we're in the parking lot, and some lady called me up that represented a business, and I've had calls before and done business with these people. And she's calling me up, and I had a nice car. I had a real nice black, I forgot what it was. I don't know. But it was a nice car. It was like a luxury car. You're paying cheap money they gave me a great car. And I was like, all right. And it had, you know, one of those things that the speaker went, and you could talk to. So I had the speaker on before we went into the Golden Corral, and I'm talking to this lady. Her name is Sherry, and she's talking to me about her business. And once she got done with her business, I talked to her, and I said, Sherry, do you have your reservation? And I asked her the two spiritual questions, and she didn't know that. But I'll tell you what, she was really open to hear, and I got to give her the gospel. And right there with my 8-year-old grandson there, he's like waiting to go in the Golden Corral. I led her to the Lord. I led her to the Lord. And we got all done with that before we went in to eat. I said, what do you want? You want cheeseburger and stuff like that, you know, the Golden Corral. But anyway, I said, what'd you think about that, Grayson? And he said, that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. And you know, I thought about that, and I thought that's a good sermon. And the name of my sermon is Don't Be Embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. And I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 12, And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9, Luke chapter 12. I won't be long tonight. Whenever a preacher says that, watch out. Luke chapter 12, 8 and 9, and it says also, verse 8, Jesus speaking, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I want to say to you tonight, in the authority of Jesus Christ, don't be embarrassed when it comes to Jesus Christ and the gospel. Don't be embarrassed, number one, to confess your faith in public. It says right there in Luke 12, 8, also, he says, he's teaching other things, but he says, also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men. Jesus is saying it's a good thing to confess me before men. It's a good thing in public to speak about me. It's a good thing in public to let it be known that you are one of mine, that you're my disciple. You know, I wear a wedding ring. I'm not ashamed of the wedding ring. I know people that take their wedding rings and they hide them. And you know why that is? They plan to what? Cheat. That's right. They hide their wedding ring. Although really today you don't even have to, because people don't even care about it. But I want to say to you that I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying here that you should not be embarrassed to let people know. We were this week at a park called Jetty Park in Fort Pierce, Florida. It's a beautiful park. We had an average temperature of 75 degrees all week, some days 80, some, you know, it was sunny most of the week, and it was great. And we were walking along the ocean, and my daughter-in-law Mary was there, and her kids, and my wife and I, and a man came up, and he was walking, and he saw us trying to take pictures there by the ocean of the family. And he said, I'll help you with those pictures. And he started joking around. He started taking pictures and helping us with the pictures. And it was great. And we said, well, what's your name? And he said, now promise not to laugh. And I said, no, we won't laugh. He goes, Lancelot. I said, Lancelot, okay. And come to find out that Lancelot, he is living in Boston. He must have a pretty good business up there, because he's living in Boston, Brother Bob, and he takes off 3 months a year in the cold winter months and has a condo right on the ocean. Beautiful condo. And my wife kept talking to him about visiting him on the condo. And they have two bedrooms. His wife stays in one with him. And she said, maybe we could use the other. She was joking with the guy. But it was interesting. We were talking. And he's just a very, very, encouraging guy to be around. I like to be around this guy. And then, you know, he said something. He said, you know, I asked him a question about something about time, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but he said, you know, I like to take it one day at a time, just one day at a time. And I said, yeah, just like the Bible says. I said, you know, the Bible talks about that. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And he said, are you a Christian? And I said, I'm a born-again Christian. He said, I knew it. And he said, I got to show you this book. And he's reading this book. It was called Foundations of Grace. And he opened it up, and he had all this highlighting in the book, you know. And he was all excited about the Lord. And we talked for a long time, and he was excited about the Lord. And you know what? It kind of made my day. And this guy, Lancelot, he asked me a question. He said, Are we sinners saved by grace, or are we saints that sin? Are we sinning saints, or sinner saved by grace. I said, you know what? I was a sinner saved by grace, but now I'm a saint that sins. And he's like, yeah, that's it. That's it. We're no longer where we used to be. Amen. We were sinners saved by grace, but now that we're saved, we're saints. And that was encouraging. And I thought about that, and I thought about the fact that here we were sharing our faith in the Lord. And the Bible says that if we confess Him before men, the Lord loves that, and you'll receive a blessing. I believe when you are not ashamed and embarrassed to speak up of the Lord in public and your faith in the Lord, for one thing, it will identify who you are and will help you from going back into sin. Because if you don't identify yourself, you'll very easily get back in sin. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Remember Peter. He was following the Lord, but afar off. He wasn't identifying himself up front and saying, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, why wasn't he? Because Jesus wasn't very popular with that crowd. It's one thing to identify yourself as a Christian when you're with somebody that it's all right. But when you are identifying yourself and you're saying, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ and I'm knocking on a door representing Jesus Christ, the Lord said, that is a good thing that you're doing. You're not being embarrassed, in other words. You're sharing it in public. And you might get a door slammed in your face. But Peter, you know, he didn't want to do that because he knew if he did that, it might put him in jeopardy. Let's put it that way. He might get in trouble. Our Lord was being arrested. Our Lord was being persecuted. And so Peter didn't identify himself. I'm saying when you stand up and identify yourself, it is a deterrent from you getting into sin with the world. And you remember Peter didn't do that, and then he denied the Lord once. Then he denied the Lord twice. Then he started cursing and denied the Lord three times. Watch out if you don't stand up and speak up for the Lord. But if you speak up for the Lord, you're identifying yourself for who you are. And now you've got to live up to it. Now you've got to live up to being a saint. Now you got to live up to being who you are, and that's what God wants. He wants us to do that, and it's interesting here. Jesus said, if you are identifying yourself with Him, He pokes the angels in heaven, and He said, that's my guy right there. I like him. He's speaking up for me. He's bragging on you. Look at him speaking up for me. Look at her speaking up for me. He likes it when you do that. And we need more saints that will do that. I'm talking about don't be embarrassed to confess your faith in public. Don't be embarrassed to stand up for Jesus Christ in public. And that's what it says here in verse 8. Jesus said, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men. That is a great thing. Now, not only are you to confess your faith in public, not being embarrassed of it. And how you doing with that? How you doing with that? And I believe many of you are, and keep it up. It's great. It's great to see it going on in Scranton. But number two, don't be embarrassed to claim your promise of it. Look what it says again in verse number 8. Also I say unto you, Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. That's a promise. He said, if you're one of those that are confessing me before men, I am surely going to speak to the angels about you. I am going to point to you and speak about you to the angels and brag about you to the angels. You've been bragging about me before people that maybe don't like me, that don't like what I stand for, but you've not been ashamed to stand up for me. Thank God for that. I think about my wife. She was sharing with my son and his family at dinner one night. She was sharing how she went to Palm Beach Community College and how a professor there named Dr. Patasto, had stood up before the class and said, I want you to write a paper on the origins of the universe. He said, you can have any origin you want. You can write about anything you want. He said, but you can't write about that hoaxy special creation theory. That is ridiculous. And nobody stood up and spoke up or said anything. And my wife was just a new Christian, and she spoke up and said, I'm a Christian and I believe in special creation. And she turned that in as the topic for her paper. And then she went to the intelligentsia and found out there were a lot of people in the intelligentsia. One of the guys was a guy named Dr. Graham, who was the boss of her professor, Dr. Potasto. And when she found out that Dr. Graham was the boss of Dr. Potasto, and he believed in special creation, she said, can I quote you, Dr. Graham, as one of the intelligentsia in my paper that believes in the special creation? And later on, Dr. Potasto came up to her and said, young lady, how dare you go to my boss and say to him what you said, and now he talked to me. And oh boy, he was upset about that. And she said, well, you do believe Dr. Graham is a member of the intelligentsia, right? You did tell me to get members of the intelligentsia. And she got a whole bunch of PhDs that believed in special creation. And God used that. And she was just a young Christian, but God stood with her and blessed her because she was not ashamed. And when she came into class, the kids in class in her college, a secular college, they were clapping for her, you know. And kids that were ashamed and embarrassed, they came up to her and they were encouraged by the stand that she took. And God used that. And I'm just saying, that's how Ken Hovind became Ken Hovind. He knew that they were challenging it, and he stood up and he spoke up and he wrote to the newspaper in his area. And what I'm saying, don't be embarrassed to confess your faith in public. And don't be embarrassed to claim the promise of the Lord here, that he says that he will bless you for doing that. He will confess you before the angels of God. Because the Lord doesn't just want silent partners. He wants people that speak up for him and identify with him. And he says, there's a promise I'm going to give you. Now, the word confess, I looked it up, and the word confess is a word I've mentioned to you before. It's homo legeo. Homo means the same. Somebody that likes the same person and wants to get involved with the same sex marriage is called a homosexual. Not a homo sapien, that's a human being. But somebody that is a homo legeo person says what they have in their heart. In other words, they believe in the Lord in their heart, but they're not ashamed to speak it out loud. Some people just want to keep it in their heart. They don't want to speak it out loud. They're embarrassed to speak it out loud. They're embarrassed to take that stand. But I submit to you, that's what God wants you to do. I think of Charlie Ware. When he was first saved, he went to his public school. And he thought, well, you know, I'm just going to be quiet about this. I have this faith. It's benefited my life. Perhaps people will see it and they'll ask about it. And I'll just keep it to myself. But then he realized, no. He said, these people are going to die and go to hell. And when they're in hell, they're going to scream out, Charlie, why didn't you tell me? He had a dream. And they're screaming out in hell, Charlie, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me about this place? And he couldn't be quiet. And you know what? You should realize the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, people are not going to get saved if you and I don't speak out. And not just if a preacher speaks out in the pulpit. No, that's not going to do it, beloved. We are not an evangelistic church where the only people get saved is when the preacher preaches. No, we're a soul-winning church. The saints are to be perfected so that the saints go out of here and the saints do the work of the ministry. And you can speak out to people that I can't speak out to. And you can, but if you keep your mouth closed on it, then you are being embarrassed. And that's not going to do anybody any good, because people are not going to get saved unless we give the gospel. And the Bible says not only I'm not ashamed, but Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, I am a debtor. We owe it to the Lord who gave his life. And we owe it to people who are going to die and go to hell if they don't hear the gospel and believe. We owe it to them. It's a debt that we should pay to people. I'm sure you pay your bills. I hope you pay your bills. I tell people, if you're one day late, you're one day a crook. You should pay your bills. But are you paying your debt to the world that's perishing while you're sitting around with all your blessings and not giving the gospel? And so he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor. And he said, I'm ready. You know what I find out so often? That people are not ready. They have the opportunity and they miss the opportunity. But I want to be ready when God gives me that opportunity. I want to be ready because it's on my heart and it's on my mind. And I want to be ready to give the gospel to people and to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. And so the question, are you ready? Are you prepared? That is the most important thing when I'm going out there. I was out with my grandson. We were having a good time. We were out shooting BBs, and then we went out to the Golden Corral. But when that lady called, I was ready. And I was able to give her the gospel. And I asked him what he thought about it, and he said, that was embarrassing. But you shouldn't be embarrassed, amen. That night at supper, when we're having supper, my son came home, and my daughter-in-law was there preparing supper, and my wife and the kids were around the table, and my daughter-in-law and my son asked, well, how was your day today? And he told him about the day, but the thing that stuck out to him, he said, Papa got somebody saved today. Papa got somebody saved today. You shouldn't be embarrassed. Because when you're giving the gospel to somebody, you're making an impression on other people that need to do the same thing or need to get saved. I remember going out with Kyle. Kyle's sitting back there. I remember going out with Kyle. Remember Kyle on a Sunday night? And we went down, and Kyle knew every day I gave the gospel, and somebody would pray to receive Christ every day, 365 days a year. And Kyle said, you want me to go with you? And I said, yeah, come on with me. Little did I know that day or at that time, Brother Joe had confronted Kyle and asked him those two spiritual questions. If you were to die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven with the Bible reason. And number two, if you were to die today and stand before God, he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And little did I know that Kyle was under conviction. He was under conviction. And I thought, he's my soul winning partner. He's going to help me give the gospel. We went downtown and we're giving the gospel to somebody who prayed to receive Christ. Whether they meant it in their heart or not, I don't even know. And I didn't even know this, but while we were bowing to pray to receive Christ, Kyle bowed his head and said, Lord, I am trusting you as my Savior. He had been here a year and wasn't saved. I'm just saying, you ought not to be embarrassed. You ought not to be embarrassed to confess your faith in public, because God will bless that, and to claim the promise of it, that Jesus will bless you for it and he will own you for it. And by the way, it is something that shows that you are a child of God. You know, you're not saved by confessing Jesus as Lord, but because you are saved, you will confess him as Lord. You're not saved by confessing that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you're not saved by confessing. You're saved by what? Believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. John 20, 30 and 31. Many signs did Jesus that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Lord, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. It's not by confessing, it's by believing. But God says that the initial evidence that you believe in your heart, that you trust in Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, is that you confess it. You let it out there. It's hard to keep it in. When it's inside your heart, it's hard to keep it in. And in fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in what? Faith. They had faith in their heart. Not having received the promises. That is, they hadn't experienced the promises being fulfilled in their daily life during their lifetime. But he says, but having seen them afar off, they saw them by faith and were persuaded of them. You see, faith means you see God's promises. You're persuaded of God's promises. You embrace them to yourself. And it says, and confessed. You see, the evidence of faith in your heart is a confession. And confession, homo legeo, means to say the same thing that God says about Christ and you know is true in your heart about Christ. By the way, God wants us, the first thing he wants us to do upon believing is to confess publicly that we are Christ and that he owns us. And what is the way that we're to confess that publicly? One of the men tell me. It's the first thing that we need to do to confess that. Raise your hand, one of the men, if you know. Brother Steve. Yeah, water baptism. And it's not just a little dabble, do you? No, that like the Brew Cream commercial, a little dabble, do you? Use more only if you dare. But watch out, the gals will all pursue you. They'll love to get their fingers in your hair. These commercials, they come back. They're effective. We were in the hotel last night. My wife was using the conditioner. And she was putting it in her hair, and her hair just looked so good, you know. And she loved the conditioner. And the maid was there, and somehow she told her it was her birthday. All week it's her birthday. So the maid says, take this with you. Take it with you on the plane. And she took it with her on the plane. And we're going through security. And the guy said, no, I'm sorry. Birthday or no birthday, I got rules. You can't take this with you. Oh, my wife went on and on and on. She couldn't convince him. So she had to leave. That stuff. So she went back to the ladies there and said, listen, one of you ladies got to use this. This is the best conditioner you ever had. But anyway, I'm saying that when you get dunked under the water, you're identifying yourself with Jesus. Amen? That you are joined to Christ, and that means when he died, spiritually speaking, you died. When he was buried, you're buried, spiritually. And when he rose, you're rose. God wants you to do that publicly. I do have a problem when a person doesn't want to get baptized. Mark 16, Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be damned, he'll go to hell. But he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. That doesn't mean salvation is by baptism. That doesn't mean that. It's by faith in Christ alone.
That's right.
But he expects you that if you really believe it in your heart, you'll confess it. You'll say the same thing publicly about it. You'll get baptized. I had a guy in our church, he got saved, and his name was Tom, and he was Roman Catholic background, and man, he was so excited about getting baptized, and he wrote to his family, he was getting baptized, took pictures of it, and he just wanted to confess it. You know, it reminded me of the Ethiopian eunuch. What did he say? When he really believed, he said to Philip, he said, "Hey, there's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? I got enough water, I can be dunked. What does hinder me?" In other words, that should be the desire of a person's heart, to identify with Jesus Christ. And when a person doesn't want to do that, they say they don't want to do that, that's troubling. Do they really have true faith in their heart? I'm not judging now, but I'm saying that's a good indication that they do if they're willing to get baptized. And so that's what folks need to do. They need to, if it's in their heart, they need to come out and confess it and let people know. And Tom Corney did that. And his mother heard about it, and she said, "I'm a believer, and I want to get baptized." She's Catholic. And the Catholic priest said, "Well, wait a minute now, ma'am. You have a burial plot at St. Anne's Cemetery right up here." How many have heard of St. Anne's Cemetery? You got a burial plot at St. Anne's Cemetery. If you get baptized in that Baptist church, we're not going to allow you to get baptized in our Catholic cemetery. And that was it for her. Time out. No, I'm not going to get baptized. I'm not going to identify with Christ. That's not a good sign. True faith confesses and does not deny. And so we need to confess and to speak up. My wife was in the airport in Charlotte, and we had people that missed the flight with us, and I was out walking around. I like to walk and pray in airports. I'm walking around. My wife's sitting there, and she's sitting next to this lady named Johanna, a nice lady, just come back from a cruise in the Caribbean, Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands and all those places. You know, she just came back, and she missed her flight too and is in the same predicament we are. And here my wife's just talking to her. And she's going on and on with her, and then she was talking to her about the Lord, and this lady had been to Christian camp and a lot of stuff, but I perceived she was close but hadn't believed. And then she started saying, "Well, I got a boyfriend, and my boyfriend's in this church, and he's talking about election, and his pastor isn't talking about election, and he didn't like that." And my wife said, "Oh, you better talk to my husband." So she turned it over to me. So she's asking me about it. I said, "Well, yeah, God makes a decision in eternity past to elect people." I said, but you have to make a decision. And if you don't make a decision, you don't know what God's done in the past. But I can tell you this, if you don't make a decision to trust Christ as your personal Savior, you're not an elect of God. You need to make a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And have you done that? And I was talking to her. She'd been in Christian camp, and she said, my boyfriend's in a church where his girlfriend is, his pastor is a girl. His pastor is a girl. And she said, "Now, I know that's not right to have a girl pastor." She was right, you know. She knew a lot of stuff. And I said, "No, that's not right." I said, "You know, it kind of reminds me of the woman at the well. Jesus said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked and he would have given you living water." I said, that woman had she was all into it. "Oh, yeah, I want this water." I said, but she did not want to. She wanted that water, but she didn't realize the spiritual nature of what he was talking about. So he said, well, okay, before I give you this water, you got to go get your husband. And she said, "Husband, I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right, you've lived with 5 different men, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. You have had 5 husbands, gotten married, divorced, married, divorced. Now the man you're living with, you're not even married to him." She's like, "Oh!" Like, how did he know this? He was convicting her of what she needed. You see, and I told this girl this. I said, we all have a God-shaped hollow place in our heart. She knew about that, God-shaped vacuum. I said, drugs can't fill it. Relationships with the opposite sex or any physical thing can't fill it. Food can't fill it. Money can't fill it. There's only one thing I said that can fill it, and that's a relationship with God. And the one that was speaking to her was the Messiah. And he was offering her a relationship with God. And I said, I perceive that that's what you need. You've been close. You've been in Bible camp. You've heard the Word of God. But you didn't really get it. And I perceive that God has you sitting next to my wife and sitting next to me because you need it. And if you receive this gift from Jesus by telling him, he will give you that gift. Pray for her. Her name is Johanna. Because I left her with that. And she became real close to us, and she was going to not get on the bus. We got on the bus. The bus was going to pull away to go to the hotel. She went, and we said, no, scrunch over, and we got her on there, and we got another guy on there. And I'm just saying that God will give us opportunities, divine appointments, people that need the Lord, and we need to point them to their need, and what a blessing it is. And so don't be embarrassed to confess your faith in public. Don't be embarrassed to claim your promise of it, that Jesus said, if you do that, that is an indication that you have faith, and you can be assured that, oh man, I am a child of Almighty God. Don't be embarrassed to claim your promise. And don't be embarrassed to clear your person of God's warning. And here it is in verse 9. Let me read it to you. Here's the warning in verse 9. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that... if we fail to speak up in public, that the Lord is going to cast us out and we're not going to be saved? Well, Peter did that and he was saved. He failed. Right. We'll fail. Right. You'll fail, I'll fail. Right. We all fail. But you see, somebody that never confesses their faith, there's something wrong with that person. When I got saved, I wanted others to know about it. I wanted people I knew to know about it. Now, did I witness perfectly? No, I didn't. But I wanted people to know about it. I remember I had a good friend named Gary Heisig. I've talked to you about him. He's now in heaven. He was a good friend. Actually, he wasn't my friend. He was a very immoral guy. He was a very bad guy. And he wasn't my friend, but he got saved. He got saved, and he came back from the service, and we used to go in downtown Grand Rapids. This is what all the kids did in downtown Grand Rapids. The boys and girls, this is a stupid thing, but this is what they did back in the 60s. They would drive around downtown, a certain square in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan, and guys and girls would just pack it on a weekend night, like a Friday night, car to car, and just talk. Boys and girls would talk to each other. Just get to know each other. And Gary used to pick up girls that way. That was his life. And Gary said to me, look, I want to go back to all these kids I did bad things with, and I want to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I said, I'll go with you. I didn't know the first thing about how to witness, but I heard him witness, and he was great. And we just did that. And it was awesome. He led all these people to the Lord. And it was a blessing. And God wants us to learn to do that. And he wants us to share that with others and go out with others so that they learn to do that. And I like this scripture. I'll leave you with this tonight. Mark 16:20 says, and they, that is after Jesus ascended into heaven, went forth and preached everywhere. Then it says, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. Do you know what? You're never going to see God work if you don't work. You'll never see God open hearts if you never open your mouth. If you want to see the Lord work, then you work. If you want to see the Lord confirm His Word, and how does He confirm His Word? By people's lives being changed with the Word of God, people getting saved, and we're seeing that in this church. We've been seeing it, and we'll see more of it if you're not embarrassed because you go out and you clear your person of the warning that I don't want to be anything like those that never witness because they don't have it in their heart, so they don't want to share about. It's like the guy that buried his talent, and Jesus said, "You wicked person, you're just a hypocrite. You bury your talent." I like it that more and more people are trying to clear their name. You might not be able to win everybody. People may slam the door in your face, but you can be a soul warner, and you can clear your person of the blood of people because you just shut your mouth on the gospel. And you can claim the promise that the Lord will brag on you, and He will reward you for it. And He wants you to confess your faith in public, to say the same thing out loud that you believe in your heart. Sometimes you just need to jump in the water. Have you ever gone swimming and the water was kind of cold and you just kind of try to dab your toe in it and play? No, you got to just dive in. And sometimes you just got to ask those two questions. Just get in there. Just start the thing. And God will bless your life. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed, because the Lord will work with you. He'll confirm the word, and sooner or later you'll see blessing. You may see a lot of rejection, you may see a lot, but you stay with it and the Lord will bless you. He'll reward you and He'll speak well of you. Don't be embarrassed. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about don't be embarrassed. Luke